I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Friday opens like this, this song on a Friday, Buffalo Football Friday, hit a little bit different when you win on the previous Monday night or Sunday and you're 4-2 as opposed to, okay, drop two straight, 3-2, really need to get a win, could be 3-3 or after a loss just in general. But here we are today. With the Bills sitting at 4-2 and a chance to go 5-2, looking really good in the standings. Some games that matter around them and the league this weekend that we're going to get into today on a Buffalo Football Friday here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And our Football Friday, of course, is brought to you by Cellino Law. Car crash? Call Cellino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Sal Capaccio here with you on a Buffalo Football Friday. We will have Bills head coach Sean McDermott in this first hour, most likely at around 10:45 a.m., give or take. So just kind of be ready. I always say have your head and ears on a swivel there. You never know if the coach calls a little bit earlier, a little bit later, depending on meetings and how things go there. But right around 10:45 is what I'm told Sean McDermott. His appearance will be happening today. We'll get a look at the injury report. And of course, our Barnes injury report is looking really good right now. Brought to you by the Barnes firm, Car Crash. For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Not because of the quantity. That's not looking good. 16 names on the injury report. But the quality. Only one of a DNP did not practice, did not participate. That is Daquan Jones, and he had a vet rest day attached to it. But little concern that we'll ask Sean McDermott about with Ray Davis. A calf injury yesterday, or a calf listed with a calf injury yesterday and limited in practice. Does that mean he got hurt in practice and had to leave? Is that just something he got treatment on, so they just kind of had to list him? We'll find out a little bit more there. And of course, lots of eyes on Amari Cooper and whether or not he's going to play. It appears as though that is trending that way. But we'll ask the Bills head coach about Amari Cooper, bringing him into the fold, and what it means for the team and the offense and everything else going forward. In the meantime, Titans come to Buffalo. Will Levis and the Titans come to Buffalo. A really great opportunity for the Bills here to get to 5-2. I think the Bills have a serious look at 8-2 if they play the way they should play. And that's always not the case, right? I mean, you get the Titans at home this weekend and they have a good defense. You have at Seattle the next week. You get the Dolphins with maybe Tua at home after that. You go to Indy the week after that. These are winnable games, all of them. And I think the Bills have a serious look at 8-2. If the Bills are 7-3 after the next 4 weeks, I think that's still not bad. You take it. Yeah, you'd love to win every game, but 7-3 is a good record. You'd still have a very firm control of the AFC East. And I think this season right now, I mean, you think about the stark contrast of what this season could have looked like at around 8 o'clock on Monday night compared to what it looks like now, not only after the win, but then bringing in Amari Cooper. Think of the stark difference of how the season could have looked, how maybe even was looking after week 3. After five, against the Texans, when they lose that game and lots of injuries and they're piling up in Baltimore and Houston, two losses. Why do we always say week-to-week league? It's not just a week-to-week league when it comes to winning and losing and how you play and matchups and opponents. It literally is week-to-week how you feel as a fan, right? Even on a daily basis. I was thinking about this with the Jets this week, which is the Jets lose Monday to the Bills, and it is just all out. Okay, there they go in New York. Fans are really upset, obviously. Jets lost season and Aaron Rodgers and, oh my God, I can't believe this. And they're 2-4 now. And then literally like 12 hours later, they trade for Davante Adams. And I'm thinking, if you're a Jets fan, it's like, oh my God, you go from the lowest of lows of the loss to we got Davante Adams. Everything's great now. You kind of have to pick yourself up, whether it's justified or not, whether it's actually going to work out or not. It's kind of the same thing with the Bills here in a lot of ways, right? You're feeling good after Monday anyway, after the win. But then Amari Cooper comes along. You think about how Bills fans and how you felt listening right now, how you felt after week number five, losing to the Houston Texans and being 3-2. And oh my gosh, sky is falling. Here come the Jets. You could wind up losing first place in the division to just a week and a day later, 2 days, I guess, after the Amari Cooper trade, after a win and where you are. It's just wild. Week to week is what this league is. From a playing on the field standpoint, and from an emotional standpoint, as far as how your feelings are. It's what it is, man. It's what sports are. Had those feelings last night watching the Yankees. Man, I'll touch on that here on the show a little bit as we go on, maybe. But I guess I'll just say now, like, it's historic, right? The game was historic. And I didn't even get to watch. I was at an event. I was following on my phone. Didn't even get to watch what happened in the 9th and 10th innings. But, I mean, I'm thinking, okay, yep, one out away. Here we go. Bam, I see 5-5. I'm like, what is going on? Then I actually got in my car and I listened to the very end. And actually, it was right after the home run to win it. And I turned it on. And I hear Tim Kirkchin on ESPN Radio saying, oh my God, this is like one. He goes, I've covered this league for 40 years. This is maybe the greatest playoff game I've ever watched. So from that standpoint, I'm thinking, all right, historic, great. Too bad it was my team on the wrong end of it. Now the Yankees had a chance to go up 3-0. Now they're 2-1. And if they lose today, tonight to the Guardians, it's 2-2. And you're like, oh my God, what's going to happen? They're going to blow this. But because they're still up 2-1, it's kind of softened the blow, and me and, you know, recognizing and how historic of a game it was last night. But you got to get the win tonight, man. And then what happened with the Mets last night? They got blown out, right? What was the final score of the Mets game last night? I think it was like, what was it when I went to bed? 10-2? Something like that? What was the final score last night? I'm going to take a look here. You don't even know, Josh? Come on. Did you have any updates today? You know what the score was last night? Here we go. 10-2, see? There you go. 10-2 last night.
You should have just went with your first guess.
I should have. I know. I'm looking at you and you're like, I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing, Sal. 10-2 last night. Dodgers lead the Mets 3-1 in that series. Sabres last night, too. I mean, Paul's going to join us at 11 o'clock because we have to talk about what's going on with this team already. Here we go again. Same old Sabres. Same old, same old. I mean, is that the case? The losses are. But how they're playing, how they're losing, is very, very frustrating. The game against the Penguins the other night, extremely frustrating. And then last night, from everything you said, and again, I wasn't able to watch all of it. I saw off in the corner where I was, I saw a couple, you know, goals and a couple things going on. But I really couldn't watch last night. But after reading online from a lot of you, last night was not a good night. Did not play well. Goaltending failed them last night, too. So last two games, maybe, you could look at it that way. So I'm not in a great space with the Yankees, but maybe you are because you don't like them or you're a Guardians fan. Maybe you're not in a great space with the Mets. We aren't with the Sabres, but I think we are with the Bills right now. That being said, there are still questions and concerns with the Buffalo Bills. And I'd like to get into kind of where you are. Get a temperature check from you today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio, good to be with you today. Give me a call, 803-0550. Temperature check on the Bills today with you. What are you liking? What are you concerned about? Where are you with them after 6 games? If I told you back in August to take a look at the schedule for the Buffalo Bills. And we did this, right? And in some capacity, we certainly did this. I know we did it on podcasts, and it's always game day in Buffalo. I'm sure we did it on Show Up in the Bulldog with Jeremy and Joe, whatever it is. We did this when the schedule came out. We did this in August. But if I had said to you in August, all right, folks, here you go. Cardinals at home, at Dolphins on a short turnaround Thursday night game. Jacksonville Jaguars at home on a Monday night, at Baltimore on a Sunday night, at Houston, at the Jets on a Monday night. Will you take 4-2? I think you'd be nuts not to have said yes. Of course, you'd love 5-1. Of course, 6-0, but you'd love 5-1. 4-2 is not a bad record to get out of that stretch. And now, like I said, I think very winnable games coming up over the next four before you meet Kansas City on November 17th here in Buffalo. And now you add Amari Cooper to the mix. But at the same time, 32nd run defense against on a per-play basis. Kicking issues. Tyler Bass. Still wondering what the offense will look like with Amari Cooper, with passing the ball. Still been a bit of a grind. Can that change? There are still things to be concerned about. This is not, oh my God, the Bills are back. Here they are. They're going to win the one seed. No. But man, they have a look at it. But they still have some question marks. And with that, still a few weeks left to the trade deadline. 803-0550 is the number to call. Temperature check on the Bills today from you. And we're going to start it off with our friend Clover out in Texas. Hi, Clover. You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Thanks for taking my call. How are you?
You got it. I'm great. Thank you for calling.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Really excited about Amari Cooper. Really appreciate your reporting on him. Can't wait to see what he brings to the table. Heard you on Jeremy and Joe this morning talking about Tyler Bass. Just really sad that, you know, he's struggling. And, you know, they got the new kicker. Joe was saying later that he wasn't exactly having a great year last year. And then I remember when he missed the kick in the playoff game, the Kansas City game, he was getting, like, threats afterwards, which was so horrible. And I saw him on Twitter in the off season with his charity with the cats. I said, okay, I guess he's doing well now. But I was just wondering if all of that, you know, hate was kind of still affecting him somehow. And I was just wondering how you see his mood around the facility, if he seems like he's, you know, back to his old self. Or, you know, maybe some of that's affecting him when he lines up to kick. I don't know. It's just strange because they gave him the contract extension because he was always so solid. And now it just seems like it's really falling apart.
Yeah, I think the first part of your question, Clover, can only be answered by Tyler himself. It would be reckless speculation on my part to say if it's impacting him or not. I don't know. I'm not in his head. Certainly it's fair to wonder, though, right? Like you are. Everything that happened, everything he went through, you know, how much that still weighs on him. I will also tell you, though, you know, he's a professional athlete, and professional athletes are wired that, you know, you can't get to that spot, and that you have to, as that position specifically, even going back before last year against Kansas City, you know, he's in a spot where he knows.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Going back to when he was a kid, He's in a spot where he could win or lose a game with a kick. He's in a spot where all the focus is on him. So he understands, Tyler does. I'm comfortable in saying he understands the spotlight that goes with it. We both agree, you and I do, that it's despicable for anybody to send any kind of threat to anyone like for any reason. But come on, over a football game and missing a kick, right? We both agree with that. That being said, Tyler Bass has been very professional about this throughout. He's been very accountable about this throughout, and I'll give you a great example. I don't know if you saw it, but yesterday he actually did an interview with Jonathan Acosta of WGRZ TV2 that Jonathan tweeted out, and it was really good. And Tyler, he asked Tyler about a new kicker coming in. He asked Tyler about, you know, where he is, the struggles that he's had. Tyler was very accountable. Tyler very much said he was very professional about it, and he said it's a results-based business, and I haven't had the results. And he understands that why they would bring in a kicker right now. And I would also say that, you know, in that interview, he said it's maybe just about him going back to the 12-year-old in him and being fun and having fun again and kicking again. And maybe that relates to your point. I'm not sure. I can't answer that first part for you because I'm not Tyler and you can only ask him. But by him saying, hey, it's about having fun and going out there and kicking again, obviously I think what he is indicating is, you know, getting that confidence back and mentally getting his stroke back and feeling like he can kick the ball the way he used to.
Yeah, I did see some of that. And I agree. I think he understands the situation, and it does seem like the team is rallying around him, like Brandon Bean saying they're all rooting for him. So that's great. But then, you know, I've only been a fan of the Bills since 99, and I know there was a Super Bowl loss because of a missed kick, and I don't know if a lot of fans are, you know, longtime fans are thinking about that as well. So, because we can't have it come down to that. So, I'm rooting for him. I hope he gets it together. I would be interesting to watch. I heard you guys talking about maybe they activate both kickers this week. So, I don't know. But I appreciate your reporting on that, and I'm really hope it works out for him. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks a lot, Clover. Thanks for giving a call. I'll say this about, you know, bringing in another kicker, and I've said this since the beginning. Whether it's Lucas Havrasek, who they did sign to the practice squad, or someone else, I mean, the people they're bringing in don't have jobs right now as kickers because other teams around the league also haven't felt they were good enough to put on their own roster. So you're bringing in a guy. We can all sit here and say, and what's the platitude people always say, or what's the general kind of just blanket statement? Well, anybody's better than this guy, right? It's not true. And anybody, quote unquote, anybody isn't better than Tyler Bass. He is struggling, and even people who aren't as good of kickers as him may be actually more consistent and better than him right now because of the situation he's in and his struggles. But let's just go to Sunday, for example. If it's a tight game, and let's hope it's not against the Tennessee Titans, if it's a tight game in the fourth quarter and the Bills need a 45-yard kick and you see Tyler Bass run out, you're going to be like, oh my God, no, come on, he better make this. You're not going to be that confident. Are you going to be any more confident seeing Lucas Havrasek run out? I'm not. Maybe you are. I can't believe you would be. And if he misses that, let's say it's Lucas Havrasek, but yeah, I mean, you're kind of back to where you were. So the point I'm making is, and I've said this all along, unless you bring in an established kicker through a trade or something else or some other way that you know that he's out there and for some reason doesn't have a job, which I don't know why he wouldn't, I'm not sure that anybody you bring in right now is going to be really any better or at least give you any more confidence from a fan standpoint or a coaching standpoint than Tyler Bass. I am very interested to see what they do. We did mention how they could play the roster gymnastics this weekend. I'm not sure that they would activate two kickers, but if they are healthy, which appears that they're pretty healthy, we'll get that from Sean McDermott in about a half hour, less than that. And then that does open the door more for maybe having that situation. But what are you doing there? Are you actually activating two kickers? And then who's going to kick the field goals? And I don't know how that works. So I'd be surprised. Yeah, but I don't know. Let's go to Ron in Alden. Hi, Ron. You're on the Extra Point Show, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. Happy Friday.
You too.
So I've been thinking, I work out here in Northrop Park, so I've been watching the stadium go up a little bit all the time. And yeah. I'm like, wow, we have barely played at home. And I go, wait, so it's almost the end of October, we've only played two home games. And that seems opposite. And I don't know how the Bills or anyone else, how the teams get to stay in the schedule, but I'm like, wow. And then we finally play home. And then we go back out west. It's like, It's like the schedule's weird. Like we have not played home at much, but
it'll be. I'm looking at it now. It'll be almost a full month since their last home game, September 23rd to October
20th. Yep, and there's no bye week in there. So we just kept on playing, and we're 4-2. That's pretty good. And all these home games coming up, and so checking the temperature, I'm thinking literally with a winter coming. But checking it, I'm like, well, we got a lot of home games coming up. We played the hardest teams we had to play on the road. We've won our division games. I mean, you say we have a good look at 8-2. I'd be ecstatic with 7-3 as long as that loss is only to Seattle, because that won't matter as much then, because that's an NFC team. But we got, my question really to you is, you recall so many few home games early and so many home games late, and I'll hang up and listen to that. But it usually seems like we get all the tailgating done early in the year, and we're kind of getting robbed of that.
I do remember a few years ago, Ron, thanks for the call. I remember a few years ago, there was a lot made about the schedule and having a lot of home games on the back end because people were like, wait a minute. And this is when the team wasn't as good. They're going to struggle selling these games. It's in December. They're home. It's going to be cold. They're going to be out of the playoff race. I do remember that. But I do think this year seems a little bit different. You only had two home games through the first 3 weeks, and then it's road. You come back at home. What I like is it appears, and we're going to talk with Patrick Hammer at 11:30 a.m. today, it appears as though we're going to get a nice home October weather game this weekend. I've always said this, I love that stadium and the look on TV or in Orchard Park when the Bills are playing at home and it looks like it's nice out in the foliage. It's just a cool look. So I like that. So the other thing I'll say about home, I do think it will matter maybe to the play, the offense, right? You don't have to go in silent count. You can maybe incorporate a little more motion again. Being at home does matter in those situations. And of course, this week on the road, you have Will Levis, who has been pretty much a disaster turning the ball over, and you put him in a pretty hostile environment. That does bode well for the defense as well. Let's go to Marvin. Hi, Marvin. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Oh, good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I haven't talked yet a little bit, but I called in and I was on hold last week. But one of the things I wanted to say, well, there's a number of things that it tickles me that I hear people saying things and calling in that are what I said years ago. But here's one that nobody's ever McDermott's going to be on, and I don't know how, as a coach, you let a guy like Spencer Brown, that not only I don't like his play, I told you he's got cinder block for feet, but the penalties. The game that we should have actually lost against the Jets, we won, thank God. But how do you let a player out of control like that? The guy, every time there's a scrum, there's 79 every time. It's an ongoing problem. To me, that's a head coach that doesn't have control of his players. And it bothers me to see that. And we could have very easily lost it. I mean, more so than not. We were lucky to get out of that game. The other thing that you're asking, I'm so glad we got Amari Cooper. I watched him in college, outstanding, a class act. We won't have to worry about Amari Cooper coming into the game wearing culottes, you know what I mean? He's going to come in there and he's going to do a good job and work hard. But the last thing, and if you could ask, I wish I could interview McDermott. They must hate Elam. They must really hate him. He played with the elite players in his division in college, the best receivers. We have Division II guys in our back, in our defensive backs. And you got a guy like Elam that has made nothing but plays. There's got to be something going on that they just don't like this guy. And I feel sorry for him because if you put him at safety, he'd do much better than Hamlin. Much better. He is a much better.
He's not a safety. He's never played it in his career. Marvin, stop. He's not a safety. He's never played it. You have to retrain. It does make a difference. You have to retrain him. I know you know about football. You can't just throw him out there to do it. He'd have to retrain his whole life.
Sal, they play cover two. Everything is cover two. In the Jets game, they wish they tried to tell DeMar, go back on the Hail Mary. See if you can climb in the back seats on the end zone. I mean, it's ridiculous their defenses they play. So I think he could learn. He's a better athlete, a better tackler, and he's made plays when he was on the field. There's something going on that they don't like this kid, and I feel sorry for him because he's a better athlete than these guys. And you know what? Why not try it? You see, I mean, Hamlin's lost out there. You know, it's a nice story. He came back. Nice story. He's a terrible player. Terrible. He's terrible. You know, he's terrible. He's not a good safety. And I would thought that Bishop was going to be a little bit better, but, you know, that game he was thrown into the fire and he didn't perform well. I always like rap, and we're lucky to be where we're at, and I hope we continue to win. But ask McDermott some hard questions. Hard questions.
What is it? Give me an example. What's a hard question? Give me an example. Okay. No. Don't give me your opinion and yell at him. What's a hard question?
How do you let a guy
is not a question. You, that's not the way you phrase a question.
Can you let me finish?
Sure.
Sean McDermott, I'll ask the question.
Okay.
Sean, here, my question to you is, how is it that every game there's a scrum, Spencer Brown's in the middle of it, he could cost you a game, his countless penalties, how do you let that happen as head coach? You should fine them. There's fines and things that you
can do. They can't do that. That is wrong. They can't do that as a team. It has to be a league.
That's too bad.
Okay, so you didn't know, that's incorrect on your part. So listen, here's the thing. He was asked about Spencer Brown this week. He was asked this question Wednesday, but he was asked it in a different way. Not the way you necessarily want to put it, but he was asked. And his answer was, of course I love the physical play, but obviously those are the kinds of things that just can't happen. Now, my question is, what do you want him to do? Do you want him to play Ryan Vandermark there instead?
You Marvin? Know what? I'd have to say this to you, Sal. In my opinion, he is the reason why Josh Allen has to spread out a lot of times.
I did not ask you that. I just asked you a question. Would you rather have them play Ryan Vandermark over Spencer Brown?
I would not be opposed to it.
I got you.
I would not be opposed to it.
I got it.
The thing is, you guys will never, ever call people out on
Okay, stop. I don't want to go down. Start, Marvin, stop. You're getting to stop. Stop. We're not going to do this again.
Okay.
All right?
I know.
All right, buddy. Thanks a lot.
Poo-poo me again.
Okay. No. We're not going to do this again. You said a lot. You said a lot of good things that matter, and I agree with you that Spencer Brown needs to have better control of himself. There's no doubt about it.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very
much.
But
I'm not going to yell at the head coach about it. What you want me to? But he was asked about.
I don't want you to yell.
No. I know.
I don't want you to yell.
I got you. Right. I got you. All right. Thank you. We're not going to do that again. I love it, man. Marvin's so passionate. But, you know, he gets a little off the beaten path there as we go. We're going to take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean was asked, and, you know, he was asked about the penalties of Spencer Brown and the control. And he said, I'd love the physical play, but that can't happen as well. That can't happen, what we saw. There's a lot of things we can get to Sean McDermott, especially the injuries. We're going to do that when we come back. But it's time for a break right now. And we'll be back in a snap, brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.